This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Who don't you want Washington to pick at in the first round next Thursday night? It can be a position group. It can be a specific player. 301-230-0980. Ben Standing, by the way, will join us at 12:35. Max, do you have an answer to the question?
Don't want would be... I just... It would shock me if they went safety, because I keep seeing Nicky Minwori get mocked to us. I keep seeing it more and more as we get closer to the draft. There's a guy that I have my eyes on next year that I would do backflips for this team to draft, and that's Caleb Downs from Ohio State. He's a monster. So safety would shock me. That's pretty much the big one. But certain wide receivers, like I think all the wide receivers that are kind of at the top, like Matthew Golden would shock me. I don't think that they're going to go that way. I think if they were going to draft a receiver, I'm going to keep banging the drum for Emeka Egbuka, but he's like the only receiver I would see them taking a chance on at the top of, or the bottom of the first round. But I mean, Edge, it feels locked up. I would like for them to take Ezeraku or something like that, but Edge is kind of where I see them going. But I have a feeling that we're going to hear a lot of calls on people not wanting Shamar Stewart. That's my guess at where the public lies.
Yeah, the lack of production. Yeah. I'm actually curious as to whether or not he'll even get there. By the way, I've watched now a lot of Donovan Azaruko from Boston College, and I'll talk about him next week. There is a lot to like. There's also a bit of a concern. All right, 301-230-0980. For me, I think I'm at the point where I hope best player available, which is what they should select at 29 overall, as long as it's not a quarterback or a pure left tackle or a center, and it won't be. But I think that wide receiver, we've already seen their ability to scheme people open and be productive in the pass game with the quarterback that they have. And I would actually love to see a top flight back in their backfield. But I'm pretty much not going to hate anything because there is a level of trust in them that I have. All right, let's start with our guy Steve in Houston. We haven't talked to Steve in a while. What's up, Goon?
What's up, Thug Sizzle? How you feel, man?
What's up?
Hey, let me be a little out of order here, real quick. Yesterday, I heard you about the RFK thing. Two seconds, Kevin. My brother and I, dude, let me tell you what game we went to. When the Skins played, what was that, Detroit? So my brother and I, we leave RFK, right?
Detroit in the NFC out. Championship game in 91?
Was that the game when Daryl Green got an interception at the end?
No, that's a regular season game. That's into the mid-90s. Yeah, picked one off in overtime and scored.
Exactly. But us two big goofs, what we did, my boy Jaron and I, Archbishop Carroll, you know, salute line.
That's my father's alma mater.
I know that. That's why I had to plug that in real quick. So we're leaving the parking lot. You know, we're over there off of Bennett, bro. We hear the stadium erupt. And we're like, dude, are you serious? We get home. We talk to the, well, we wait, see everybody come out screaming and yelling, Redskins won. I said, dude, and at that point, I'm staying to the end. Like they say, it's not open until the fat lady sings. So that was my quick RFK moment from yesterday. Right.
1995, I thought it was mid to late 90s, 1995, Darryl Green in overtime picks off Scott Mitchell, the lefty, and returns it for a touchdown to win it 36-30. All right, answer the question that we're asking.
Yes, I was talking to Max in the same thing, Shamar Stewart. You know, all of the measurables, workout warrior, the whole nine, but just the production, I think only 4.5 sacks last year at Texas A&M. It just doesn't make sense. I would be very afraid, nervous, concerned if they were to pick him, because that just seems like they're leaning towards, you know, potential and upside. But I have one, you know, and I know we signed Kinlaw. You know who I think would be an interesting decision, Kevin? If Derek Harmon from Oregon fell at 29, I wonder what Peters would do then, because he's a really, if you watch his tape, Derek Harmon is really good from Oregon. And if they have him rated high, you know, how would that work? And I've always been curious if they got a D tackle rated and like a wide receiver.
Yeah, well, that's, rated. I've actually considered that as a possibility. Like if the best player on the board is a true, you know, inside technique, inside defensive tackle player, would they take that player? I think you do have to consider that this could be Daron Payne's final season in Washington. So if it is a D tackle and that is clearly the best player on the board, I don't think they'll hesitate. So if a Derek Harmon fell, that's a possibility. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Let's go to Paulie. Paulie, go ahead.
Big guy, how you doing, man?
What's
Hail
up?
To the W.
Yep.
Ain't nothing much, man. Ain't nothing much, man. I'm pretty on board with what you're saying. I think receiver position would be my least favorite pick. And along the same lines of what you're saying, like, Jaden, that's how you can tell one of the greatnesses of Jaden Daniels is
he elevates
the receivers around him. Exactly. Come on. Noah Brown, OZ. Just take it back to that Atlanta game with OZ. I mean, OZ was looking like Alvin Harper out there.
I don't know about Alvin Harper. He's much smaller than Alvin Harper. Wasn't Alvin Harper like 6'4"?
What I'm saying is he was a dominant number two in that game. Just for that game, we remember we needed a number two, and he elevated him to a dominant number two. But personally, I think we're getting confused on edge rusher. I don't think they're looking for an edge rusher. I think the word we need to use is they're looking for a defensive end. I think they're looking for
I agree. That's a really
Rice type player.
I agree.
No, go ahead.
You have to get somebody who can first and foremost stop this team from giving up 8 and 9 yard runs, you know, on that C gap or outside of it. But you want that player to be a pass rusher too, because you did lose 10.5 sacks last year.
Right. And that's why I said a Simeon Rice type player. But in saying that, if they just wanted an edge rusher, they would have threw that little extra couple millions and brought Fowler back. But they didn't, because they didn't just want a one way player.
Well, they couldn't play him when they got behind against Philly.
Right. So I don't know Stevenson's measurables as far as his height and weight, though, but if he's a true defensive end, I wouldn't be surprised if they did take him at that spot if he was still there. But the player.
What player did you just mention?
What's his name? Stevenson? Who's the guy that everybody's saying they don't want, the defensive end? The one Max just brought up earlier.
Shamar Stewart?
He didn't want.
Shamar Stewart. From A&M.
Yeah, Shamar Stewart.
Yeah, he's got no production.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, the butcher, that's me. My fault.
Yep.
But the guy I personally want for this draft is I want Trevion Henderson, Ohio State. Not only is he a game breaker, he's good in pass pro. He's Clinton Porter-esque in pass pro. I think that's the one position, one player that will boost or elevate the offense without, you know, having to lean on. Well, Jaden Daniels is always going to elevate, but that's the guy I want. Trevion Henderson, man. I'll take it off.
We'll do the who do you want next week. Thanks for the call, Paulie. But right now, what don't you want position wise, or who don't you want player wise? 301-230-0980. Sabah is calling in. Been a while since we've heard from Sabah. Sabah, go ahead.
Hey there, Kevin. Can I comment about the name after I talk about who I don't want?
No, we're not doing the name right now.
Okay, well, I think it's a huge topic, but okay.
I know, but it's always a huge topic with you. It's a huge topic for me, too, but we're going to stay focused right now. Is there a player or a position that you don't want them to select in the first round?
Yeah, don't want them to select Travis Hunter at all. I don't want somebody to tell me what
you don't want who
before he even shows up. Travis Hunter. I don't want nothing to do with
him. You're not getting Travis Hunter. We're talking about players that would be available at 29. He's the best player in the draft. He's one of the best players we've seen in years.
I'm answering it. Then I don't want any running back in the first round not named Omarion Hampton, because he is LaDainian Thompson. He ran behind a sucky offensive lineman. You know, they were nothing. And when he is in the open field, he is gone. He is going to be better than Saquon Barkley is to Hurts. He'll be better than that to Jaden, because they both have breakaway speed. We will be unstoppable on offense if we get Omarion Hampton. And he also is durable. That Javonte or Jonte guy, he's too physical. He's going to get hurt.
Jonte's very physical.
LaDainian Thompson,
and
he's elite. He is elite.
I don't see Hampton the same way.
He's got a perfect mixture of power.
Yeah, I don't see Hampton the same way, and I like him, and I think he's going to be a good NFL back, but I don't see any similarities to Saquon Barkley's breakaway speed. Not even a little bit.
He's LaDainian Tomlinson. That's who he is, a future Hall of Famer. You book it right now,
buddy.
I don't want to run it back if it ain't him.
If you promise me he's LT, we'll take him. Thanks, Sabah. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
Let's go to Kevin. Let's go to Kevin. Go ahead, Kev.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hey, Kevin, thank you for taking my call. Although I don't want a light in the pants, pass rush only defensive end, because we need an edge setter, that's not my number one concern and thing I don't want to see drafted. But let me just set it up. Look what the Eagles did last offseason. They had weaknesses at corner. They go get Mitchell and DeJohn in the draft. They had weakness at running back. They go get Barkley. They had issues in the linebacker core to get Bond. And why do you do that? Because they're in the Super Bowl window. Even though they had that collapse at the end of a season ago, they were still in the Super Bowl window. They went for things they needed to do and have to win a Super Bowl. And I feel like we've taken bets on Samuel and Tunsil, and I think they're smart bets because we need those players to win a Super Bowl. What we don't need to win a Super Bowl is another wide receiver. Okay, we don't. If they draft wide receiver, I will have a fix. If you go back to 1980 and our first round wideout picks, that's the last good one we did. That was Art Monk. Since then, let me read off this disturbing list: Desmond Howard, Michael Westbrook, Rocket Rod, 50-50 Gardner, you know, Doxson and Doxson. Do I need to go on? It is a heavy bust pick, that position, just like quarterback. No, do not go for wide receiver. Hell, I'm thrilled we've got McCorn and Samuel, and I think Luke's going to take a step up. We got Noah Brown back, and maybe Gallup can take the cap off the beat. That's the last thing we need to fix. So I'm very strongly against taking a wide out in the first round.
Remember, Philly went back-to-back years taking wide receiver, and they really screwed it up in 2020 with Jalen Reagor from TCU when Justin Jefferson was on the board. I'm with you. I think that what we learned last year about Cliff and obviously about the quarterback is they can scheme it up. They did it with a lot of, you know, average players other than Terry, and they've added Debo, and we still don't know what Luke McCaffrey can do. We do know he can get open. So I'm with you on that. I would be disappointed if the best player available on their board was a wide receiver. But if it were, and it was not even close, then I would absolutely be on board with it. So, you know, if Igbuka is the best player on their board by miles at 29, they should take him, period. But I'm with you. I hope it's not that position.
I just think it's too risky. I just feel like what the Eagles did is they addressed all their major weaknesses. We still have a major
They traded back to get the second corner with our team.
However they did it.
I agree.
They filled the holes.
Yeah. Yep. But it probably was the best player on the board when they selected Quinyon Mitchell. And I guarantee you Cooper DeJean was the best player on everybody's board when he was taken at whatever number that was in the second round when they traded with Washington to get up to that spot.
Kevin, what did we get by giving up the pick that got them DeJean? I mean, did we get Sennett? I mean, what did we get? Because I'd like to
We got the we got the extra second round. We got the extra second round pick. We got Sennett. Sanra still was our own pick. Sennett was Newton was our own pick. Sanra still in Sennett. We got Sanra still in Sennett, right? Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
So if we got Sanra still, then okay. But my point is, if it were Sennett and another player that wasn't Sanra still, I'd want
It was Sanra still in Sennett. We traded back with Philly and picked up. It was like 50 and 53 or something like that. Whatever it was. I'm pulling it up right now. It was 50 and 53. And we got Johnny Newton. We had 3 second round picks last year.
Yeah.
But we gave up 40 and we gave up, I think, a fourth round or two or something to Philadelphia. But whatever. They got an excellent player. We got an excellent player in Sanra still.
And we don't know what we've got with Sennett. Maybe he's going to blow up.
It's 1 year.
Maybe Luke's going to
Most players don't show what they are as rookies. Yeah. Thanks, Kev. Let me move on real quickly. Let's go to Chris in Hyattsville. Chris, quickly, go ahead.
Hey there. I said to your call screener that, number one, nobody on offense. We're fine. Okay, we can find rookie free agents, whatever else. I trust our offensive coordinator to scheme things up properly. We need a lot of help on defense everywhere. Number two, your prior caller was right. I remember the NFC Championship like it was yesterday. Darryl Green picked off Detroit on their last possession, ran it back about 30 yards.
Yeah, but he was talking about the overtime game winner. That was against Scott Mitchell in Detroit in 95. He did have a pick six in the championship game. Yes, he did. But that was a 41-10 win.
No,
he was talking about the game winner, I think. I thought he was. Maybe I'm wrong.
No. The one in the NFC Championship game was where he picked it off on Detroit's last possession. We were
it was like a deflected ball. He picked it off and ran it back.
Correct.
The interception against Scott Mitchell in overtime was a regular season game, and they won on his pick six in OT. I thought that's what Steve was referring to, but you might be right.
I immediately interpreted it as he was talking about how to kind of close out the game, because I remember that as well. Okay.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Dre in Landover. Dre, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, Dre?
All right, to start off, I'm going to go ahead and try to answer the question, but I do want to touch on the fact I keep hearing a lot of, it's been like arrogancy. We picking 29, and so people saying they don't want Stewart or they don't want Pierce or this and that and the other. basically, it's not our decision. It depends on who's on the board. You know what I'm saying? Now,
well,
you
yeah,
got those choices between
these are
the
hypothetical
steward
questions,
and the peers.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, these are, you know, these are hypothetical questions based on, you know, the consensus of the kinds of players that will be available at 29. But we're all
absolutely
guessing at this
but
point.
I'm just saying, I hear a lot of people saying, well, we don't, they took James Pierce off the board due to character concerns. And I'm saying that based off of last year, the culture was set. That was one of the best coaches I've seen in this organization in over two decades. So I feel like with Coach Quinn, they can take on a guy like James Pierce or Mike Green or whoever. But all right, let me answer the question. I'm going to, at first I said receiver position totally, but I'm going to go with Emeka Ibuka because I feel like I think this team needs somebody that can be a deep threat. And I feel like you can get a slot, basically what he is, a slot receiver. You can get that in the third or fourth or whatever, late undrafted guy. I feel like this team really needs somebody that can, you know, go deep like a Matthew Golden. If he's there, I would take him at 29, actually.
All right. I mean, by the way, back to your first point. It's an interesting point. I would just tell you that I think this is a team moving forward, even in a championship window opportunity, that they're not going to go with flip-the-coin players when it comes to character. I don't think they're going to do that right now. I mean, if you told me 5-6 years down the road, they've won a Super Bowl, they've lost one, and there's another window before they're going to have to pay Jaden another massive deal, and there's a corner out there that's got red flags all over them, and they desperately need a corner, that's different. I don't see it in year two of Peters and Quinn. But thanks for the call. Those that I didn't get to, I apologize. We'll have plenty of time to do calls next week. Ben Standing next.
All right. Last night, the Washington Nationals lost 1-0. Trevor Williams got the start, pitched 5 innings, got 5 strikeouts, and gave up 1 long bomb to O'Neill Cruz. They will take on the Rockies at 8:40 on 106.7 The Fan tonight. The Caps took the L to the Pittsburgh Penguins by a score of 5-2 last night. Clay Stevenson got his first NHL start, and Alex Ovechkin notched .897, finishing third in the NHL with 44 goals behind Leon Draisaitl and William Nylander. Former Washington National Patrick Corbin picked up a 3-1 victory last night versus the LA Angels. Nearly missed the start due to a suspected spider bite. Bruce Bochy said he could hardly walk when he came into the clubhouse. After 38 years, Lee Corso has announced his retirement from broadcasting. He will give his final headgear pick on August 30th. The NBA play-in continues tonight. The Heat will take on the Hawks at 7, and the Mavs will take on the Grizzlies at 9:30. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream, turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports, and that's what's trending.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.